B-Pod Studios.
I think this year's team has provided a lot of new energy. And I think that the ability to really pour into them, you know, and try to create a foundation for a lot of them in our offense and our culture here in New England, and then see them take to it, adapt to it, and really grow and learn, you know, how they fit into the bigger piece of the puzzle has been really a great experience for all of us. I kind of refrain from comparing years one versus another because I've had so many, I've been blessed to be a part of a lot of great teams and a lot of great groups to be around. So this one's just it's another group that I'm really cherishing every day and every opportunity to be with them. You can tell, I'm sure, by talking to a lot of them and seeing us on the sideline and during the course of the games, how much fun and joy we're having with one another. And I think that's a great component of team sports. And it's obviously, you know, you kind of feel better about getting up and going to work every day when that's the atmosphere you're going into. So again, blessed to be part of this group and excited to get ready on the last four games here.
All right, Josh McDaniels likes his team. It's a way to get into our Patriots conversation here on Tuesday, December 14th. Tuesday being a big boy Tuesday. Greg Bedard from the Boston Sports Journal joins us in our Town Fair Tire Studios. Greg Bedard is brought to you by the Granite Group. The Granite Group is an award-winning distributor of Mitsubishi Electric's heating and air conditioning systems with locations across Massachusetts and New England. Learn more at customizedcomfort.com. Maz back as well. Adam Jones in our update studio. Hi, everybody.
Wow, quite a collection.
What's up, Slim?
Greg, let's just get right into it, shall we? How do we feel about the Patriots after last weekend's action, sitting home and watching all that football on your couch?
Very good. I mean, the AFC is crowded as hell, and really both conferences are. But the Patriots have, you know, I think it's set up a little bit better for them than some other teams. But I'm excited to see this next two game stretch. I think,
and you say set up schedule wise.
Yes, set up schedule wise. I mean, the Colts are a good team. I wouldn't say they're, you know, a powerhouse or anything like that. You have the Bills again coming back in here, and I think this two game stretch is great and will really give us, you know, finally, hopefully there aren't, you know, 60 mile an hour winds for any of these games, and we get a, you know, true barometer of a preview of the Patriots in the playoffs. Like, what are they going to look like? I mean, this Colts game is basically like a playoff game because both teams have been off with a bye week. So the Colts will have watched 2 weeks worth of film to prepare for the Patriots. It's almost like a Super Bowl. And we saw what Frank Reich did against the Patriots defense with 2 weeks to prepare in that Super Bowl with the Eagles. And the Patriots are going to get their best shot this week. And to me, that really excites me. This is like a playoff game. And so I'm extremely excited to see what happens.
Maz, this is like a re-entry for you. You were off yesterday. So, yeah. You know, what's your reaction to the NFL weekend vis-a-vis the Patriots?
Has a team ever won the Super Bowl without ever having to show up? Has that ever happened where you can just stand by the side of the road and watch everybody else implode because their coaches and players are as dumb as a bag full of hammers?
So I was trying to get through to these guys, Jones and Arcan, yesterday, that this is why the Patriots feel like the Patriots to me, because the whole thing feels like a typical Patriots year to me.
I mean, what a bunch of jackasses across the league. It is one collection of jackhammers after the next. Seriously, how stupid can you be? They're all stupid. Everybody's stupid. The only team, obviously, and you said this, I think, the last time we were on together anyway, which is the Patriots and Kansas City are on a collision course. The Chiefs are playing great. Chiefs are playing great. They've figured out the defense. Their defensive coordinator has beaten you. Like, you know, their head coach has beaten you. They've won a Super Bowl. Kansas City's legit. The rest of them? Oh, my God. Please. Idiot City.
Okay, Jones, you want to explain again why you are not buying in on the Patriots? I'd like Greg to respond. I want to get, you know, turn Greg on you. You know, let someone else have a swing at you is what I'm trying to say. Go ahead, Jones. Well, how come you're not buying in? I said, Jones, tell me why you're not buying in.
I think he has to have his mic turned on. Oh, this is better.
I said, oh, so good. So much better.
I like this Jones.
So do I. This is perfect.
My favorite Jones.
Seriously, Simon Jones.
All right, so Jones is sequestered in the cone of silence over there. We can't get his mic working. Either way, what's your biggest concern with the team going forward there, Greg?
I would say it's, well, there's a few things. I think you guys touched on it yesterday. Mac Jones, we just don't know what he's going to do in crunch time when it comes down to it. Like, you know, for instance, you just mentioned about, or Tony mentioned about the Chiefs. You know, if it wasn't for Brady having an all-time fourth quarter in the cold in Kansas City, making third down throw after third down throw in the tight coverage, the Patriots don't win a Super Bowl that year. They don't get out of Kansas City. Can Mac Jones do anything close to that? I don't think so, but we don't know. We don't know whether he can perform like that in the cold. We don't know whether he can make those throws time after time. He hasn't had to do it yet. There have been occasions where he's shown flashes. I'm not saying he can't do it. But the big thing for me is on defense. I think that they have gotten away since the Stephon Gilmore trade, Jonathan Jones injury, with a lot of zone. Okay, and I talked to a NFL personnel executive. I sort of got his pulse on the Patriots this weekend over at BSJ, and one of the things I asked him was, can they continue to play this much zone defense and win big? And he said they can if they continue to get pressure, and that's the whole thing. And when you really look at it, Judon and Barmore basically have half their quarterback pressures this year. Both of them have slowed down the past couple weeks. You know, maybe this bye week refreshes them. It's a perfect time. They hadn't had a bye week yet. But if you run into a team that limits those two guys, that's the whole thing with playing zone defense. You can do it against anybody as long as you're getting pressure and you make the quarterback get the ball out of his hands and throw into sort of your looks and your adjustments. But if he has no pressure on him, remember the older Patriots teams like, you know, 09, 10, 11, those groups? They didn't get any pressure on the quarterback, and so that's why that became a problem. So that's what I'm looking for. I also want to see an offense that really spreads them out, just says, you know what, we're not going to get in close with your big guys and your slow guys. We're going to spread you the hell out, and we're going to pick you apart up and down the field. I think they're ripe for that, but there aren't many teams that can do that.
I mean, I feel pretty good about the pass defense. You know, the thing that concerns me is the pass offense. So then you can build that around Jones if you want. I would say I have equal concerns about the receivers given the nature of the games in January and what that is all like. So, but to me, those are the defense to me, I'll tell you what, even if they play zone, I think they're playing it so effing well right now. The windows are so small to throw into. The players are all connected, it feels like, by a string. They just move well together. The whole thing is synchronized to me. I haven't seen them play this kind of team defense in a long, long
time. That's because of the pressure. I mean, it's synced up to basically like, all right, the quarterback is going to get rid of the ball, have to get rid of the ball in X amount of time. And we can do these coverages and these windows. But as soon as somebody shuts down Judon and somebody shuts down Barmore on third down, now all of a sudden guys are running into other zones. There's more space. That's where you have problems on defense. And to me, that's the kryptonite for this team. If it happens, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but if you run into a team that can pass block really well, and we will get a good indication of that with the Colts this week because they do have a good offensive line. I wouldn't say it's great, but it's pretty good, especially compared to what they played lately. But those type of teams that can protect, and now all of a sudden the quarterback can now look into the second window to get to complete passes, then you could run into issues on defense.
Oh, you want to talk some football with Bedard? Here's your chance to do it, 617-779-0985. How about the Colts linebacker, whatever his name is, saying that we're going to shut down the Patriots' run and see what Mac Jones can do? How wise that is another sort of thing. Did he give the Patriots too much there? Was that too revealing of a comment or not? We can discuss that, but how about just the nature of it? You know, a team that says, we're not going to let you run. We are going to commit to it. Mac Jones will be able to throw. Can he do it? What if a team does that to you? Do you think the Patriots can take advantage?
Yeah, I think the Patriots can. I mean, as far as the comment goes, everybody, that should be their goal against the Patriots all the time until Mac Jones proves himself, until you say, all right, well, you know, we got to play coverage because this kid's too good.
Okay, but again, outside of that, I think if a team sells out to stop throwing, I like Mac Jones in that spot.
Sure.
I do, actually. And I like him in conjunction with the coaches and the scheme. If
Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels are looking there and say they got eight guys in the box, or they're bringing that safety down and they're leaving those guys on the island. We'll take advantage of that, and they'll scheme something up, and Mac Jones is good enough to do it. It's the teams that play you straight up that can do both that I would be more concerned with.
I don't think the Colts are going to I don't think they're going to load up and play the run like, you know, I don't think they're going to sell out. They do a lot of different things. They play a lot of zone. They mix and match. The defense coordinator, Eberflus, he was handpicked by Josh McDaniels to be his defensive coordinator if he went to Indy. Very smart guy. So they're going to mix and match. They're not going to sell out to stop the run.
I tell you what, I hope they don't sell out, but I hope they do stop the Patriots.
Me too. I want to see it.
Yeah, let's go. Let's go. What's it going to be? You know, strawberries and cream every week? Are you going to get everything you want? Like, I want some resistance. Let's go. Stop him. Make Jones throw. Let's see Jones win the game. The Patriots would be better off if it goes that way.
Okay, we're going to take your thoughts with Bedard for the next couple hours. We'll do three up, three down as well. Three Patriots that you feel the best about down the stretch. Three guys that you're worried about. We'll do that coming up in about 20 minutes or so. 10 questions in the 3 o'clock hour coming up next. More on McDaniels. We'll take your calls. I see you lined up there. We'll get to you. But a quick thought on Josh McDaniels and well, his status across the league, and is this the year that he goes, and is there one team in particular that should be after him? And sort of an interesting timing, because the last real chance he had to be a head coach, it was more than a chance, he had the job, was this Colts team. And now here he is on the precipice of getting another job. So I want to touch on, Bedard has a thought on that, maybe a little bit of informed speculation on that. I want to get to that. Is Jones up? Can we hear from him yet?
Hey.
All right.
Hey.
Yeah, Jones. So, you know what?
Enough.
I like it better better the other way around. We'll get to your calls and this McDaniels thought right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is purely a take that exists in my head.
Getting into your head.
Let me tell you what's in our head.
With hot sports takes.
And we share it with you.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, Josh. Hope you had a good bye weekend.
Thanks, Mark. You too.
On the Colts, you know, obviously, this time flies, and it's kind of crazy to me to think. Obviously, there was a chance that you were the guy leading that organization. It's been a while since that. I was wondering, what have you learned about yourself, you know, since that situation? How has, you know, Josh McDaniels today, how is he different from, you know, Josh McDaniels back then, if at all?
I think every year I've tried to learn and grow as a coach and as a person. And, you know, you make decisions, you know, in life and in your career that you feel like are the best decisions for you and your family. And it's certainly what happened then. And, you know, you move forward and you do everything you can within your power to make those decisions the right ones. And that's what I've tried to do every day. And so I certainly have no regrets about what has transpired since then. I know they've done a great job. They have a tremendous staff. Coach Reich does a great job. Chris Ballard's obviously tremendous in his role, and what they do in their organization is pretty special. So, you know, I've learned a lot being here. This is a great place to be. I learn from Bill daily, weekly, you know, under his guidance, and he really challenges me to try to improve each year. And I've tried to do that myself. And that's all that any of us can really do. But very fortunate to be where I'm at. Looking forward to this week.
Seth McDaniels on the Colts thing coming full circle. Greg, what are your thoughts on him this week?
Well, I think that it's very interesting with him with the job market, what ends up shaking out. I mean, I don't know where you are, but there was a rule change this year where now after week, now that so they go 18 weeks now with the bye week. After week 16, if you have an opening, and right now Vegas is the only opening, you can request to interview people before the end of the season.
Wow.
But the team has to approve it. You know, so it'll be interesting to see if McDaniels gets any calls, if that pushes any teams like Chicago or perhaps the Jaguars, which I doubt, to make a move before the end of the season because you can get a jump on the hiring process. You would think that he would be a viable candidate in a lot of places, especially, you know, Jacksonville if they make a change. But has Mac Jones changed the equation for McDaniels here as far as staying put, seeing what happens? Makes a lot of money. Kids are in school, have been in school for a while. I know that kind of the family stuff is important to him. It was in the Indy decision. So how has the formula changed for him? I'm not sure.
I mean, it is, and it has changed. I think Mac Jones changes it, and the Patriots' turnaround changes it in that, and this ties into something we talked about yesterday, with Belichick now back on track to catch Don Shula as the Patriots' coach in the next couple of years. If the Patriots win out and they go 12-5 each of the next 2 years, he's caught in them. That's 28. He doesn't even need a playoff win. So he's 28 to pass him, 28 wins behind to pass. If they win their last four and then go 12-5, he's got him. And if he wins a playoff game in between, he'll take it, you know. And so Josh McDaniels can look at that and go, two more years after this one. I'm not going to get fired in the meantime. Tremendous job security. He gets paid well. And doesn't have to uproot his family, and I'm just going to wait. Like, he could, like, I think that's sort of back on track. Or what? I'm going to go work for that buffoon Mark Davis and take over the Raiders, or that hot mess down in Jacksonville, and what? Get fired in 2 years and be back out on the street and have to move back up here, or, you know, whatever? Like, I don't know. I think it's kind of tempting to stay now for him.
He's got great leverage, if you ask me. I mean, I don't know how, you know, you can, if you're him and it's not a good job, with a good quarterback, not necessarily in that order, then I wouldn't take it. Jacksonville's a death sentence. Please.
I disagree on
God,
that.
No way.
Look.
In that hellhole.
Without Trevor Lawrence, then you could say that. Yeah. But, I mean, if you're the Jaguars.
They have the quarterback and the owner will commit.
And they have a ton of cap space this offseason. So, basically, you go in there. You spend all your money on the offensive line, the defensive line, whatever you need. You have a ton of cap space next year. You have the quarterback. He's only had 1 year of getting ruined. And if you're Shad Khan, how can you not look at what Mac Jones has done this year? What Josh McDaniels has done with Matt Cassel, Jimmy Garoppolo, et cetera, et cetera. Look at what is happening with Trevor Lawrence, who you were probably told by a billion people is a generational talent. He doesn't look generational this year. Is it going to get better next year? No, it's not. You're just going to keep ruining the kid. He needs to cut bait. I don't think they're going to. I think they're going to keep him because that's a lot of money to swallow. But if I'm McDaniels, that's really the only opening I'm looking at. I'm not looking at Vegas. You got to go in with Mahomes.
Chicago and Justin Fields?
Possibly. But I don't think the Patriots are crazy about Justin Fields. I mean, if you give them the choice of Justin Fields or Trevor Lawrence, I think McDaniels takes Trevor Lawrence. I don't think they wanted Justin Fields here, ever.
Yeah.
But you go to Vegas, you have to deal with Mahomes and Herbert for your whole career.
And it's a clown show organization.
You go to the AFC South, Deshaun Watson's probably getting traded. You got Vrabel. The Colts will probably be good. But, you know, and it's almost like an outpost like Foxborough was when Belichick got here, where it's, you know, out in the sticks, you can do your business. You know, you can operate.
Okay, so I think that's an interesting thought with Josh McDaniels and where he stands. Add that to the list of whatever you want to talk about with the big boy. Lead it off with Tom and Newton. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, hey, guys. I think you guys were talking about this on Friday, and it's been a conversation lately about, you know, Bill and the system and, you know, sort of Bill revitalizing himself maybe. Obviously, last year with Brady going to, you know, what was the worst franchise in the league, winning the Super Bowl while, you know, the Patriots were as terrible as they've been forever. And then this year, of course, bringing Mac Jones along, that certainly helps Bill and, you know, this idea of Bill's system. But I just want to push back on that because I feel like, you know, you look at, you know, speaking of like, you know, McDaniels and, you know, what he could do as a head coach, Bill's coaching tree is a Charlie Brown Christmas tree. Like, if he has a system, nobody's taken it on the road and done well with it. So, like, I guess how much is just Bill's really good and how much of it is, you know, a system? I just don't see it.
Well, I mean, I agree that the fact that no one else, a lot of guys have taken the system elsewhere and it's fallen apart, works against Bill. But how do you explain this year in New England? So Bill's got to run his system, but I'm sorry. What the Patriots have done this year is a resounding checkmark and statement on Bill Belichick's statement on his system. And we're not done yet. But to this point, I don't know how you look at that any other way. I'm sorry. I mean, just because what? Joe Judge is an idiot? Bill's system doesn't work? Like, I don't know, when it's Bill operating a system, it feels like it works. So I don't know how you read that any other way. Do you guys have a thought?
Well, the only big variable to me is Bill's resume. Like, are players more willing to buy into his system because it's him?
Yeah, I guess.
Right? Like, that's the only thing. I think too many of these guys have gone elsewhere and tried to be like Bill. And people have looked at him and said, F off. Who are you, Matt Patricia?
I guess. I can't explain why no one who's ever worked for him has done anything. I can't explain that. All I can tell you is that Bill's really damn good, and this year reaffirms it.
Well, I think there's a couple things in play as far as the guys who have gone and failed. I think some of them have been immature and not ready and haven't been outside of Foxborough, so they don't understand how things play to a different audience. And so, you know, early McDaniels in Denver, Patricia, those type of guys, I think, made a lot of mistakes. But they also, they didn't have the quarterback, okay? None of them had a quarterback. So I don't care what system you're trying to put in, you're going to suck, okay? And the second thing is, and I think this is an underrated component of what Bill has done here, and I think this season's roster reflects it and backs it up, is that the whole key to all of this is finding a team, putting a team together. You're not in the talent acquisition business. You're in the team building business. And I think Bill, better than anybody, can watch NFL film and say, I want that guy. He can do what we're going to do. And I don't think any of these other guys can come close to doing that. Bill can pluck these free agents and say, they're going to fit into our culture and our scheme. And I think other guys have a lot of trouble doing that.
Well, Chris and Everett, you're up next. Go ahead, Chris.
So I get what you guys are talking about when it comes to the whole testing the defense from a pass perspective because of the lack of Stephon Gilmore and Jonathan Jones at this point. But I think their bigger issue is possibly their run defense, because they got run all over by Dante Foreman, which I brought up. And I feel like you're going to get an actual test this Saturday with Jonathan Taylor.
Let me stop you there. Is the run defense legit?
If the team only does one thing well. I mean, I think what game was that where they got run on a little
bit? Tennessee.
So, you know, I think that was, like we talked about at the time, I thought that was a game plan decision. I thought that they were like, well, you know, Tennessee, the only way they're going to kill us is on play action and the little boot action that Tannehill always does. So they sort of stayed back. They hung back. I think they seeded the run a bit in that game. We'll know this weekend. I mean, because Jonathan Taylor and, you know, Quentin Nelson and Kelly, the center, if he gets back from COVID, you know, Fisher at left tackle, like, these guys are really good offensive linemen, run blockers, all that stuff. We'll have an idea. But you also, Frank Reich also knows how to scheme up plays for Carson Wentz. And so you get the dual action that you don't normally get. We'll know this week. They all know Jonathan Taylor's the best running back in the league. You know, and he will take it to the house if you make a mistake. So we'll know.
John in the car, what do you got?
Hey, guys. The only thing that concerns me about this team is they haven't played a complete team since they played Dallas. They got Cleveland without Nick Chubb. They got Tennessee without Henry. Now they're going to play a team that has a really good running back. And is this team going to be able to outscore Cincinnati, Baltimore, Kansas City in the playoffs?
Can they outscore Cincinnati? Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Is it going to be 48-45? Then maybe not. Can your defense hold Cincinnati to under 24 points? Yeah.
Yes.
So, like, I mean,
I'm not worried about Cincinnati.
I'm not worried about Cincinnati. I'm not. And I'm a little frustrated by the thing about they haven't played anybody. This is Jones' thing. Jones, quickly, why don't you buy in on the Patriots?
Well, I gave him credit for the Bills win, but outside of the Bills win, it was all a bunch of bad teams and a bunch of hurt teams. That's all they beat.
Okay, so...
So the Bills win counts, the Chargers win counts, but, like, those teams are a cut below... The elite of the elite. When they played the elite, Tampa and Dallas, they lost.
And I thought that you also threw the conditions on there, that they have not beaten a good team that's healthy in legit conditions all season long. To which I say, where are you going to find that team? You tell me who's healthy. How many good teams are there in the league to begin with? Like five. All right. So then you got to find them on the right week where they're totally healthy and it's not raining. Good luck. Good luck. Like, where are you going to find these mythical good teams in the league?
I mean, in the playoffs.
The land of Narnia.
The league is flawed. There's a lot of bad teams. There's a ton of bad coaches, and you get bad weather out there, and there's injuries and COVID everywhere. So when you can find me that really good team that's well coached and healthy and it doesn't rain, tell me where that exists, and then I'll tell you how they are. But I think you're asking them to play teams in situations that just don't exist. I'm sorry.
The playoffs.
Jones, remember.
We have a show to do today, Jones.
Those two games.
Turn his mic back off.
Those two games happen in the first 6 weeks of the season. What did we learn about that, Jones?
Extended priest.
Yeah, exactly.
Very good, Jimmy.
It doesn't matter. But I do think there's something to that. Like, I'm not giving the Patriots credit for the Dallas and Tampa games, but I'm also not deducting from them because I do think that they were a different team. A team's morph over the season. The first 6 weeks, they were a different team. They changed after Dallas.
Yeah, but I'm sorry. Losses don't count. Yeah.
But I think in hindsight, you look back and say, you kind of hung with those teams, and that's a decent sign. Those
I agree,
are good
but
teams.
I'm not going to go either way on it. Your point is fair.
Thank you.
But I'm not gonna rip them like Jones for losing, and I'm not going to say, wee, moral victory like you. So I'm in between.
He's the voice of reason today. I see.
Okay, so Bedard's between us, Jones. What do you want to do with that?
Well, three, rose between two thorns.
Three up, three down after Jones gets you updated.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is the place Boston sports fans come to get some positive vibes for their teams.
Anything but. It's time to panic.
Maybe not. Now, back to reality with Felger and Maz.
And now, it's time for three.
Jones with time. Throwing the deep ball down the left side.
What a throw.
Three down.
This is one of the worst throws he's had.
With Greg Bedard from BostonSportsJournal.com. Three up.
Bucks win the Super Bowl. And then the cannons go. Fire him. Keep on firing him.
Three down.
He sucks.
He blows.
On Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, no game, but we're still going to do three up, three down. We'll do the three Patriots we feel best about. Most confident heading down the stretch, and three guys we're worried about. Three up, three down with Greg Bedard is presented by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. Enjoy the game with a triple distilled, triple cask matured, and triple blended Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. Game time is Tully time. Please drink responsibly. Who are you most confident in heading down the stretch, Greg?
Kendrick Bourne. I think that he is really coming into his own in this scheme. Yeah. I think he is one of the few guys on this team that can get open when needed. And I think when the games become bigger in the bigger spots, I think you're going to see Bourne touch the ball more. And I'm excited for that. I think he's a playmaker, and he's slowly being brought along this season, and he's ready to sort of pop here down the stretch.
Matthew Judon. I think the postseason's largely about power and aggression. And I think that, you know, he can be more of a speed guy, but I think he's fearless. I think he looks to make big plays. I don't love the collapsing edge. So, you know, that bugs me about him of late, but I think he'll be ready to go. I'm not worried about that.
Surprised by Greg's answer. Who's number two?
Ramondre Stevenson. He is just getting stronger by each game. He looks like a franchise back. He looks like a bowling ball, John Riggins, all wrapped into one. He is just legit. He looks like you could hand off to him 30 times a game. And he's gonna take a pounding. He's going to bounce off people. He's going to hurt the defense. They're going to get tired of tackling him, and that's going to be valuable down the stretch.
I considered him because I think he's going to be an asset. I went with Barmore. I think Judon and Barmore are the key to the whole defense. Power on the inside, speed and power on the outside. You know, guys who want to get to the quarterback. I think right now that's the strength of the team, those two guys.
Number three?
I almost put this guy on the list where I'm worried about those players, but we'll group it in here. Matthew Judon. And I put him here because not because of the way I feel about him, because I think that you could make the argument that the first half of the season or up to the past couple weeks, he basically left it out there, and maybe he doesn't have as much left in the tank down the stretch. And also, there's a lot on film where teams can prepare for him. But I'm putting him on the things I feel good about because if the Patriots are going anywhere, Matthew Judon has to be a monster for the end of the season and the playoffs because they really – they really don't have that many pass rushing options outside of Judon and Barmore, and so he's vital.
I'm surprised. No fat guys. That's what I'm surprised about.
I went McCourty third because I'm buying into this whole spacing on the Patriots defense in the secondary, and I think he's the guy that runs the whole thing. He's not the player he was. I'm under no illusion, but I trust him.
Who are the three guys you're most worried about? Number one,
Mac Jones.
Nice.
I mean, look, he's a rookie quarterback. We have no idea, and I was asking Maz this in the crossover. You know, how much adversity has he really faced this year? Like, he, you know, look, he's had to come back a few times. I mean, the Chargers game there was back and forth. Dallas, he brought him back a few times. Tampa, look, he went toe-to-toe with Brady in a humongous game. So it's not like he hasn't shown me anything. But I don't know. It just seems like the whole team with this winning streak, everybody's feeling good. They're all riding high. Like, you know, what happens if the Colts punch them in the mouth and all of a sudden they're down 20-0? How are they going to react? It's something we haven't seen. And there's a lot with this team. I'm not saying they can't do it or he's going to react poorly. I'm just saying I worry about him just because we haven't seen him in a lot of situations.
Mac Jones. He's nice. Number one on my list, too. Look at the weekend. Tom Brady wins in overtime. Jimmy Garoppolo wins in overtime. This is what we're used to here, albeit Garoppolo on a small scale. He is 33-14, by the way. Did I mention that? 33-14 in his career as a starter. What's this kid going to be like when it's all on the table? I don't know. I'm worried about it.
Jones, go ahead.
Mac Jones, what other answer could possibly be on there? He's won a bunch of regular season games. Yahoo! Let's see him in the playoffs.
Oh, I can give you about 10 names.
All right, well, let's go with number two then. Number two, Greg.
Number two is Devon Godchow. Yes, he had an incredible game against the Bills.
He's your fat guy.
he had an incredible game against the Bills, one of the best, and I compared it to the Vince Wilfork game against the Ravens and the AFC Championship game. It was a different type of game, but similar impact. Here's what I know about Godchow. If the center sucks, he's going to have a good game. But against good centers, he kind of goes invisible. This is a big litmus test for Devon Godchow and whether he can really be a nose tackle in the system, because Danny Kelly, if he's back from COVID, Ryan Kelly, excuse me, or Danny Pinter, who's a good backup, young backup, who's been playing for him, both of those guys are really good.
I put these two together, Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry. And I'm sorry, I include both. Jonnu Smith because I have no faith that he will be in the right place and doing the right things. And Hunter Henry because in January, I fear that he's going to be too soft. No. I like Henry as a player, but I think the games are going to be rugged. I'm not sure it's going to be his kind of football.
Number three, Greg.
Isaiah Wynn. Is he going to be ready to, you know, do the deal against better? You know, you're going to see better defenses as they, you know, the next couple of weeks. You know, seeing the Buffalo Bills pass rushers in regular weather conditions is going to be a bigger challenge. And then in the playoffs, every game you're going to see, like him against the Chiefs. I mean, is he going to have to block Chris Jones or the outside linebacker that they acquired? I mean, the Chiefs now have pass rushers. Is Isaiah Wynn going to hold up and protect Mac Jones' blind side?
Isaiah Wynn, because he blows. I also have Jalen Mills on my list if you want him. J.C. Jackson concerns me a little because he takes chances. So, like, you know, I can go right down the list
if
more. You want. But that's
keep going.
Okay, well, that's really the meat of it, those guys in particular. Damian Harris a little bit because I'm not sure how much of a beating the guy can take. I do like Stevenson, though.
And Teddy Johnson just chimed in via text to tell me that Kelly has cleared COVID, so they are going to have their A number one center this week. So Nelson and Kelly in the middle there. We'll get some answers this week.
A healthy team.
In good conditions, Jones.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, dome. Perfect. Yeah, can't complain about those.
But when the Patriots beat them, you'll say they actually suck.
Yeah, well, we'll do that show that day.
Okay, that's right. We have a show to do today. We will continue with your calls. Long commercial-free segment is next. Speaking of Jones here, he listened to a Belichick cut yesterday that he thought said something. Initially, I disagreed, but he brought me back to the dark side. He brought me over to the dark side, and I ultimately agreed with him. Greg has a take on it as well. Did Belichick disrespect Tom Brady again yesterday? We'll get Greg's thoughts on that. And then to your call, so go nowhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
No thanks. Tank.
Felger and Maz.
Those guys are always trouble. I want nothing to do with this guy.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I want to ask you a question as well off of an interview you did, I believe it was last week, where you talked about Tom and LT and the impact that those guys have had on each side of the ball. Do you believe that guys of that skill level will find a way to have success no matter what? And there are other guys you have to build a structure out for, an infrastructure for them to have success. In other words, are the all-time greats, will they always find a way to have success and be great as opposed to having to build out an infrastructure for them to do so?
Yeah, I'll just give that more thought. I don't know. I would say it'd be hard for me to imagine that Taylor couldn't have played in any system at multiple positions.
So I was Bill yesterday. When I first heard it, I kind of dismissed it, but after giving it a second listen, I came over to the dark side with Jones, who believes, and now I do too, that is a statement on Brady in some way, shape, or form. And I'll just, again, the question was, because Bill on the across the street last week mentioned something, or the week before, something about I've coached two of the greatest players ever on either side of the ball, and Lawrence Taylor and Tom Brady. It was a nice comment about Brady and saying he had the privilege to coach the two greatest on either side of the ball in the game. And so the follow-up question is, are those two guys that you could drop in any situation, any system, and they're going to emerge because they're so great? And Bill answered by saying, yeah, you could drop Lawrence Taylor anywhere and he was going to be great. Leaving out the Tom Brady piece, which is sort of saying, no, Brady had to be in the right situation to be where he got. And he, i.e., he had to be with me. To be what he is, which is another way to read it. I think there was a little something to it. Greg, how did you read that comment?
I did not read it the same as Jones. Big shock. I thought that Bill did not give a Brady answer because he couldn't give a Brady answer. Because it was going to come off poorly. Because the correct answer is, you morons, when you talk about this stuff, if you know anything about football, you're talking about an edge pass rusher versus a quarterback. Edge pass rusher can wreck an opposing offense from anywhere in any scheme. It doesn't matter who the coach is, who he's surrounded by. Pretty much, they're going to be great. Quarterback is a completely dependent position on coaching, teammates, offensive line, running game, receivers, everything. Basically, it's the whole nature versus nurture thing. Tom Brady was drafted by the New York Jets,
Whoever.
Tom Brady would not be Tom Brady.
Yes, okay. You don't think there are some quarterbacks that simply transcend that? Like, you could have, to me, there's a select few. I think you could have dropped John Elway, onto any team at any time with any coach, and ultimately he was going to be great. I can kind of say the same thing about Peyton Manning, because that's what
John Elway didn't think so. That's why he maneuvered to get traded.
Well, was it the team, or he just wanted to live in Indy or whatever? I still think he would have been successful in Indy. That's my opinion. I'm just giving you my opinion that there are, some select quarterbacks at that position that can break through, those circumstances. But Brady's not one of them.
I would agree with that. I mean, I think you're talking about the athletic quarterbacks, guys that can do a little bit of everything.
Peyton Manning's not athletic.
I don't think Peyton Manning could have done that in any scheme.
I do.
I don't. No. Why could Manning but not Brady?
That's a fair point.
Good question.
It is a good question. I think Manning was a little more talented, maybe a lot more talented as a passer, a lot strong. He was a more talented passer.
I just think you can make the argument that guys like Elway, Mahomes, I'm trying to think who else would be in this. I mean, you could say Michael Vick if he, went to the right coach. Well, then that's the whole argument. I think it's very limited. To me, the quarterback is wholly dependent on who he's being coached by, the talent around him, and the organization. I mean, look at some of the guys
So then it is a shot at
Brady. Exactly. I was just going to say the same thing. If there are some select
It's not a shot at Brady. It's reality. It's the whole quarterback position.
But it's not. You just had a couple who are outliers.
And I said maybe you could say that. I'm not saying definitively. He's saying Elway. I said maybe Mahomes, but I think about it more.
And Vic.
I don't think it is. I don't think any of those guys, if they go to the wrong scheme. Look at Aaron Rodgers. Look at Alex Smith. It's all nature versus nurture, that position.
Yeah, and again, look, Greg, I'm not telling you wrong about the quarterback. I'm just telling you that I think Bill, you know, initially I said, well, of course he mentioned Lawrence Taylor. Good God, he goes to bed talking about Lawrence Taylor every night for crying out loud. So he puts himself to sleep. It's his happy place. And some people think of the beach. Bill Trent thinks of LT. But then I thought about it, and I said, you know, I understand Brady's active, LT's not. But if you were to ask Bill, truth serum, Bill, does Brady become the best, the same player he is without you? He'd say no.
Agreed. And yes, that's what it is ultimately. But I think in other systems, Bill, you know, that he respects, if Brady was drafted by Mike Shanahan, who he loves, or, you know, someone that he respects, then I think that's Bill's point, that Brady is not one of these transcendent physical talents. And I mean, that's okay. It's totally okay. I mean, Brady is more brain than physical ability. I mean, we all know that. It's more tangible than physical ability. And his physical ability is very, very good. But it's his competitiveness and his poise and that quotient, that toughness, all of those things, his smarts that set him apart, that make the greatest of all time, which means that doesn't necessarily work everywhere or it doesn't emerge everywhere. And I don't know. I think that's at the root of what Bill was saying. So either way, I found it a very interesting comment. And so there's that. You can weigh in on that as well. All right. Back to your phones as promised. We've got Phil and Malden. Go ahead, Phil.
Thanks, Mike. Based on their schedule, do you think the Patriots can run the gamut?
Okay. Greg, let me phrase it a different way. Of course they can run the gamut. Of course they can. You would be disappointed if the Patriots finished where? Like at this juncture, if they don't do blank, you'd be disappointed and consider, you know, them coming up short.
Well, I think they need to split one loss to end the season. That's what they should do. You know, down the stretch, are they? What is the line this week?
They're favored by one. They're favored by one. They'll be favored.
That's not what I see.
Well, that's what I saw yesterday. So, what can I tell you? What is it then?
It opened. I don't know. I see an open that the Patriots opened at as a 2.5 point favorite. It is now 2.5 for the Colts.
I see Colts 2.5.
Yeah.
I heard Indy -1.
I was just wondering
yesterday.
How many times they're going to be favored.
But in any case,
did it swing that much? Did I see it wrong? I might have. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, I thought it was Indy -1, not the. But anyway, look, that's going to be a tight game. To me, the Patriots got to get. I say AFC Championship game now. You got the division. You can't blow that. If you blow that, it means you lost this week and next week. That's at this stage, it's a borderline gag job.
Yeah, so the way I put it is they have to win their home playoff game, and then let's see where we're at. So if they get the bye, you're in the AFC title game, or else I'm disappointed.
Correct.
If you don't get the bye, you win that first game. You know, you'll be the 2 seed or the 3 seed facing some bum wild card team at home. Win that game, and then let me see where you're at. If you're at Kansas City in the divisional round and you lose, I'm not going to hold that against you. So let me see after that. But, you know, you've got to be home in the first round and you got to win that game. Anything short of that, I'm disappointed. And if you want to narrow it down further, if you're home and lose to anyone else other than Kansas City, that's a fail.
Well, so this is why I say, like, right now, don't they almost have to be the number one or number two seed?
I don't know what the tie. Tennessee, I guess, yes.
Right? So, they're tied with Kansas City. So I look at it as worst case, you're at home against anyone other than Kansas City for 2 weeks.
Probably so.
You got to win those.
I would agree. Here's a quick update with Jones. 90 seconds, no commercials. Right back to your calls.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.